Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
And welcome, everybody, to your regularly scheduled episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. I am your host, Lewis Song. I am joined by Eric Weideke. I am joined by Chris Early, otherwise known as Duke. We are back, and we are here to talk about more of the tampering period. Now, it's not going to be so much live as things have started to settle just a smidge, but there are still a lot of teams doing a lot of work, not the least of which, of course, is the Miami Dolphins, who have done a lot since the last time we were on, just last night. So we're going to get into all the things that the Miami Dolphins did. But before that, really quick, just going to go ahead and mention, as always, the show is brought to you by our good friends over at PrizePicks.com. PrizePicks.com, the revolutionary fantasy sports platform, which you can now pick up to 6 different players across professional sports leagues, the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, whatever you want to go for. If it's there, you can go ahead and do that. Now, what I want to go ahead and point out to everybody, that even though the state of South Florida currently does not have the ability to use Prize Picks, they are working on a new game that you will be able to play very soon. So make sure you're keeping an eye out for that. For those of you outside of South Florida, make sure you use the promo code 5, that's FIVE, and then we'll match up to $100 on your initial deposit and when you sign up. So again, that's promo code 5, FIVE. Go to prizepicks.com, deposit your $100, and let Prize Picks give you 100 of their dollars for you to play with and get started winning today. And of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the links in the description below of this video to go to My Nintendo Store. They are affiliates sponsored with us. Use the links in the description below when you make your purchases of either of these fine games, Super Mario RPG or Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Both are available. Both will give you bonus items upon making your purchase if you use the links in the description below when you make that purchase. All right, guys. So let's get into this. So let's just get a quick recap of everything that happened. I'm going to go ahead and head on to OnlyFins, which the Alf, CK, and Simon of 3 Yards Per Carry have very graciously given everybody over there a kind of breakdown of everything that's happened with the Miami Dolphins so far. If you have not done OnlyFins, that link is in the description below as well. It's on Discord. It's only $3 a month. You'll be able to get in some really good Dolphins content that you can only get there. So the list of things that Miami Dolphins have managed to accomplish so far: they managed to get their hands on a center. So that's Aaron Brewer, formerly of the Tennessee Titans. While he lacks somewhat in pass protection, he makes up for it with being a super athletic kind of player. So that's good thing. That's good news for the Dolphins in that regard, because that, once again, is fitting the mold of the kind of offensive lineman that Mike McDaniel is looking for. So, okay. So he's good at being athletic, and he has some good film. So everybody who's looking at the Tennessee Titans offensive line as a whole and saying that nobody on it is good, not necessarily true. Yes, Brewer has his flaws, but he does have a lot of good traits going for him as well. Miami Dolphins also got their hands on a linebacker last night. They got their hands on a safety today. Jordan Poyer is finally a Miami Dolphin. It comes a year later than we all expected it to, but I guess better late than never. Jordan Poyer will add a veteran face to that locker room, and believe me, I'm sure he's very happy to finally be in Miami. I stand by everything that was being said, is that he basically had a neon sign saying, "Hey, Miami, please sign me." So he went back to Buffalo, got a little more money. Now they cut him again. So now Jordan Poyer is going to be like, okay, maybe now it's time for me to just go to Miami because I want to go to Miami.
And that's important. He was cut.
Yep.
So does not factor into the comp pick. You're muted.
You're muted, Lewis.
I did not realize. I apologize. What Duke was saying, very important that it does not go against the compensatory formula. So some people on OnlyFans. Now, the compensatory formula isn't an exact science per se, but the current trajectory for Miami right now is that they're supposed to get 2/3 and 2/6. That's what I'm seeing on OnlyFins. And now maybe somebody with more knowledge on the situation, maybe somebody from over the cap. These guys usually tend to have a good idea of where everything stands.
And that's assuming they don't go out and sign somebody big time with a big contract. I mean, I think what Christian Wilkins signed is going to counteract most of what any kind of thing that Miami's going to sign this offseason. But let's say, for example, they go after Arik Armstead. He's going to sign a fairly good-sized deal. And let's say Miami finds a way to get that under the cap. Okay, that's great. Well, that will he won't affect it. So I'll take him off the board. But let's say it's a pure free agent. I don't know who's still out there. So let's just say they've got somebody they want. Calvin Ridley or something. I don't know. They go after a guy, they sign him to a big contract. That will affect it. So right now they're signing guys. The only guys I think they signed that were true free agents were the two linebackers. Or maybe Brewer. I don't know if he was released or what. So,
no, I believe I said that last night, but I think I was mistaken. I think Aaron Brewer's contract officially ran out. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and pull it up on SpotTrack just to make sure. But yeah,
What's funny about Jordan Poyer's, I remember doing podcasts back on the Finsider years ago and scouting him when he was coming out of the draft. So, tells you how long I've been in this.
I mean, you've been doing stuff like this for a long time. I still remember listening to you with Keith and Kevin.
It was 2013. That was the draft he came out in. So a good year for corners, believe it or not. And Miami didn't get one. So just all around bad.
Then it wasn't Chris Greer in charge because Chris Greer is the one who's very obsessed with cornerbacks. So I guess
that was Ireland, wasn't it?
Wasn't 13 that one year where it was Dennis Hickey?
That was 14 because that's when they got Juwan James, Jarvis Landry, and then every pick after that. No, most of the picks that came after that were all from like small schools, Division 2A or something like that.
Yeah, I still love Walt Akins. Okay, I want to.
They drafted Arthur Lynch. He was a tight end from Georgia, but then they got the linebacker from Montana. They drafted Matt Hazel from Coastal Carolina. And then there was Walt Akins. And then there was somebody else. I don't remember who the third round pick was that year. But yeah, that was the Juwan James year. That was Dennis Hickey.
Wait a minute. I'm having flashbacks. Oh no, I know who it is. 2013, the third round pick, my least favorite offensive lineman to ever walk the face of the planet.
No, that was 2013.
2013.
I'm talking about 2014.
Oh, 14. Oh,
14.
Oh,
2013. And I can tell you the two draft picks that went ahead of that third round pick too. One of them is currently a Dolphin. And one of them, the guy right before it, is Keenan Allen. Do you know who the guy that was picked two picks before Dallas Thomas?
Mm.
Teron Armstead.
No.
Because I was hoping he'd fall two more spots, but nope. They got him now, so we'll
yeah, it's a little yeah. late now. Now in the twilight of his career.
I'll take a win where I can get it. So.
Yeah, well, still a quality player.
There's no doubt that he's a quality player. It's just that I'm looking at this situation from the standpoint of I need somebody who's going to be reliable. And that's where I feel like if Miami is going to go ahead and they're going to look at offensive line right now, we still haven't seen the numbers on the Teron Armstead contract, by the way. I'm a little bothered by that. We keep hearing these announcements that, oh, they adjusted Teron Armstead. What did they do? Tell me what they did. I just hear nothing but silence on this.
They've gotten to 4 p.m. tomorrow. So,
but that's the thing. Armstead on Twitter said, "Yeah, it's done. I'm staying." This is like, okay, what was done?
I mean, listen, I'm kind of doing the math in my head as I'm hearing of these deals. It's got to be fairly significant, considering that after they cleared out that $28 million from those other guys that they restructured, that would only put them about $3 million from the cap. So it had to be something fairly significant for them to be able to get Brooks and then sign Baird at almost, up to $9 million. Doesn't necessarily mean a base salary of $9 million. But I'd imagine it's got to be somewhat significant there.
So breaking, kind of, sort of. We already knew about Jordan Poyer. Oh, Duke, you're chatting at the same time. But so breaking, sort of. Jordan Poyer's contract. It's a 1 year deal, which we knew. Do you know how much he signed for? Don't look at Twitter. Don't cheat.
I logged off of Twitter a long time ago, so I'm not going back to that place.
Eric.
Something less than Jeremy Chin.
Which is?
Less than five. He got five.
$2 million.
Yeah.
$2 million for Jordan Poyer.
And I think we got to remember something, too. I think with the change in defensive coordinator, maybe Jordan Poyer didn't necessarily fit what Vic Fangio wanted to do last year, and maybe he fits what Anthony Weaver wants to do. So,
the issue with Jordan Poyer wasn't that Jordan Poyer didn't fit the defense. Poyer wanted to be in Miami from the jump, and Miami even made an offer. The problem is that the offer that they made was way below what Jordan Poyer was looking for. It wasn't that he didn't fit. It was just like, yeah, well, we're not that desperate to have you. We'd love to have you, but at our price. And then Poyer was like, nah, I'll go back to Buffalo. I'll get more money there. But this year, after Buffalo literally kicked him to the curb, maybe that was the offer. Think about it. 1 year, $2 million for Jordan Poyer. Maybe that's what the Dolphins were like. Listen, we don't really need you that badly. Here's $2 million. You want it? Take it. And I didn't think you took it this time.
I hope that week 18, whatever goes on, I don't know what's happening, but they're playing Buffalo because that's going to be the game. That it comes down to a final play. Josh Allen drops back, gets under pressure, throws up one, and Jordan Poyer picks it off, and Dolphins steal the win and knock Buffalo or something out of the playoffs. That would be fun, especially if it's in Buffalo.
I mean, I'm looking at there's a list of guys that Miami can still look at that would not impact the compensatory pick formula. Do you guys want to hear the whole list?
I know Armstead's one, but yeah, go ahead.
Eric Armstead, yes. Eric Armstead is one of them. Poyer, who obviously signed just now with Miami. Saran Neal, who is a special teams guy. He's actually meeting with Miami. That was an announcement. Tre'Davious White, also from Buffalo. So I don't think he has any suitors as of yet. And very interesting that we haven't heard anything about him. If I'm Miami, think about it this way. I'm Miami, and I am not sure if Cam Smith is the guy that I'm looking for the future. Okay, fine. Tre'Davious White have we heard anything, and I do mean anything, about Tre'Davious White since he was released?
No, but he's coming off of an ACL tear 2 seasons ago. Now he's coming off an Achilles tear. So I think he's 29 years old, if I remember that from the NFL website today.
He is currently 29. Yes, that
is
correct.
I think that's... I mean, I absolutely hated that he went to Buffalo because I was a big fan of his in the draft, and he was a very good corner for a number of years, and his injuries have taken it away. I think he'll be a later signing in free agency just because of that. He's still recovering, I wouldn't surprise if he goes back to Buffalo on a kind of a 1 year small deal just to prove he still got it. But if Miami wants to get in that mix, I would be okay with that. He's going to be at this point, I would say CB3 for Miami just because of the injury history. All right.
So who's two? Are we going with Cam?
Cam Smith's going to be CB2. You're going to roll with him. He was your high pick last year. You're going to roll with him. I don't really understand why Vic Fangio didn't roll with him. I know it's tough. But
old part is old.
I mean, it's a rookie corner. There's going to be some growing pains. So let's get him out there and see what he can do. If he's not the guy, he's not the guy. But I remember when he was drafted, we talked about it. It was, a lot of people are like, why do we need a corner? Well, we saw it. X is gone now. So he's the guy. And you probably need some more corners just so you can have there he is, the man, the myth, the legend. You're going to need some more corners because it sounds like they're going to be moving Ramsey around a lot. He's probably going to play a variety of positions. And whereas we were kind of thought he was going to do that last year and did not. It's going to be where he's going to be. This season he's going to be moving all over the secondary. So you probably need another guy. I like Kohu mostly in the slot. Nick Needham's back there. Let's hope he's still got it. He's a full year recovered from his injury, so that should be helpful. So adding a corner like Tre'Davious would be a good deal if he's fully healthy. But you can't rely on him to be that guy anymore just because of that. So I think that's the kind of contract he's looking at. So
I mean, I feel like we can rely on Tre'Davious White as much as Miami could have relied on Xavien Howard over the years. I'd like to just kind of bring that up.
And if Miami's smart and they do this like Belichick used to do, you sign him. Then you let him walk in free agency next year, sign a reasonable deal, and you get a comp pick for it. So,
yep. Well, if Chris Greer is hanging on to those comp picks with an iron fist, I'm sure. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce Chad Ronnebaum, who is joining us fresh off of last night's super special show. Chad, that's how right. You doing? How are we feeling after 24 hours removed from the tampering period show?
Pretty good, I would say. Yesterday I was making the point that I understand the fan favorites left, and it's tough to lose guys like Christian Wilkins, but you know, none of those guys were Pro Bowlers. They're good players. They just weren't elite. And, you know, bringing in guys right now, like Shaq Barnett and Jordan Poyer on 1 year deal. I mean, getting Jordan Poyer at $2 million for a year, that's a bargain. I like what Greer is doing. I think he's kept the nucleus of the elite players like Tyreek Hill, like Jalen Ramsey. I think this offense should be fired on all cylinders early. So I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, I know it's not complete, but I realize we still have holes. But if you look what has been addressed, it's looking like upgrades. I mean, our tight end room is better than it was last year. Our linebacker room is better than it was last year. I really don't think there's a drop off between Poyer and Deshaun Elliott at safety. And so I'm just kind of letting Greer cook, as people like to say, and we'll see when he and how he addresses the interior defensive line and the guards. But the team right now seems to be getting better despite not shelling out huge contracts.
I don't know if I would say better. I feel like Miami on paper is still worse off than what they were before, just because like you said, they still haven't addressed the defensive line. And I really feel like replacing Christian Wilkins is not going to be as simple as plug and play one dude or even two dudes, to be honest. Eric, go ahead.
Well, ultimately, though, I think when you look at what they still have to play with, they've done a lot of this really responsibly so far. The biggest deal that they've signed to this point has been Jordan Brooks at 3 years, and that's $26.25 million. They can still open up more resources.
We still haven't seen that arm set restructured.
No, of course. Tyreek Hill can still be restructured. Bradley Chubb can still be restructured. They still have options available to them. The Xavien Howard money is freed up in June. Considering the bevy of comp picks that they're getting right now, it's not – I can foresee a world where Chris Greer looks in the mirror, looks at what he has for 2025, and if there's a certain player in the mid rounds that he really wants this year, I can see him saying, you know what, I've got two comp thirds next year. Maybe I'll deal the 25 third and get into the third round here if there's a player that they really like. So while they might not be better on paper right now, I think it's actually very easy to see a pathway to where they can be better on paper in 2024 than they were in 2023. Just going forward, looking at what they've done to this point. And I wouldn't say to Lewis's point, I think you're right, but I think that they're not far off from where they were last year overall, because you look at to Chad's point, the tight end room is better. The linebacker room is better. The offensive line, right now, to this point, they haven't done too much to address it. I still like the Aaron Brewer thing. I think he's going to be a better fit in Miami than he was in Tennessee, considering the system, the more that I see of him. They still need to get a couple guards, but the holes are starting to kind of close up, and you're starting to see, okay, well, maybe there's a little bit more to play with here than we had initially thought in terms of getting these holes filled up. So I can ultimately see where they have the potential to be a much better, not much better team, but an improved team heading into 2024.
I want to hit on a point that Eric mentioned about the offensive line. So I wrote this today on a comment on the Finsider. Do you know who the top five offensive linemen were last season for the Dolphins in terms of number of snaps played?
Eichenberg's got to be one of them. And Austin Jackson.
Austin Jackson was first. He played 989 snaps, which is just slightly over 90%. Liam Eichenberg was second, 815, which is 74.23%. Lester Cotton was third, 616, 56.10%. Kendall Lamb, 613, 55.83%. And the fifth was Robert Hunt, who came in at 547 snaps, which is just under 50%. So only four offensive linemen played more than 50% of the snaps last season.
And all three of them were backups.
And all four of them were guys that if most fans had their way, would have been off the team before the season began. So I say all that to mention, number one, you bring in the James Brewer to play center. And you can look at his flaws, and I don't want to get into the whole thing with Tennessee, but Butch Berry was an absolute gold star signing that the Dolphins got last year. He was maligned coming out of Denver. I know a lot of people didn't really necessarily care for him, and he turned Austin Jackson into a good starting tackle. He got the most out of Liam Eichenberg to the point Liam Eichenberg was not a complete liability. Kendall Lamb was invisible out there, which is a good thing. Lester Cotton wasn't necessarily great, but he played a lot of snaps for the team. So he's going to get the most out of Brewer. So I think when it comes to the offensive line, I think the biggest addition was added last year, and that's Butch Berry. So I think they're going to add a draft pick, probably one of those first two picks that they have. They're probably going to add another guy later in free agency. Maybe Connor Williams comes back. I think he could also play guard.
I'm not going to hold my breath on that, Duke. There was apparently there were some reports that, and I don't know how much we should take into account this, but allegedly Connor Williams' tear is so bad that he may consider retirement. And the report is by Lewis Riddick.
Okay, so let's assume he does not retire. I think they can get him back, probably on a one-year deal.
He might be the only one. Miami might be the only team that might be willing to give him back if after Riddick gives that report.
And you can bring in bring back Isaiah Wynn. He probably won't be very expensive either. So you can bring in some guys, and Butch Berry is going to get them coached up. Frank Smith's going to get them coached up. These guys did a phenomenal job. And I know it wasn't necessarily the best offensive line you could throw out there, but this wasn't a complete liability. So losing Hunt is a big deal in terms of talent-wise, but I think they can do well. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and Lewis, you've known me for a long time. I've complained about the offensive line for most of that time period. I trust what Butch Berry is doing. I think they're going to get whoever they've got, be it Liam Eichenberg, be it a rookie, be it some other free agent, he's going to get that thing in line. And Tua's got enough pocket presence and enough ability in the pocket to mitigate some of that issues that we might see that we did not see with Tannehill. Butch Berry's got a lot of leeway with me. So I just want to give him some credit for what he did with the line last year.
I mean, I'm not going to take away credit from Butch Berry. He did a phenomenal job with what he had, but that's the problem that I have. I don't want him to go into the offseason with Teron Armstead, who might not stay healthy, and or more than likely probably will not stay healthy, with Aaron Brewer, which, again, yes, good stuff happening there. He's durable, at least, so one thing that we can count on. Austin Jackson, who I need to see it again before I truly believe it. Like, good for him. He got his money. But at the same time, I'm looking at the guy and I'm like, okay, just, can we see it again, please? Can you prove it to me one more time that this is not fool's gold? I need to see one more year of him actually being decent. I don't want Robert Jones going into as my right guard. I don't like that idea. I hate that idea, actually. If you do bring back Isaiah Wynn, okay, great, but I don't want him given the starting role. I want him to compete for it. He's going to have to fight for it. And honestly, best case scenario, he's a backup. I don't want Isaiah Wynn as my starter because when he gets hurt, whoever the guy is behind him is probably not going to be a pretty sight. So I need somebody who's going to either compete with Isaiah Wynn and then Wynn becomes the backup, or it needs to be somebody who is Isaiah Wynn signing and he's the backup by default.
One thing from an offensive line standpoint is it's much easier to play guard than tackle because you don't have to play in space. And so
tell that to Lester Cotton, bro. It didn't work.
Who you should tell it to is the Carolina Panthers. They just sunk $150 million into a position that's easier to fill than most positions in the league.
Miami has sucked at all along the line for years. We finally hit on him.
You got to step back though before Butch. I mean, we've had some of the worst offensive line coaches for years, but Butch Berry. Robert Jones didn't play that bad. Isaiah Wynn didn't play that bad. Lester Cotton didn't play that bad. You don't have to be that talented of guard in the Miami system. Tua gets the ball out so fast. I mean, what do you have? An average of like 2 seconds and the ball is out. And so
slightly over 2 seconds. Yes. But I have also lamented that.
Tua was first or last, depending on how you look at it. He was lowest in the league at 2.1 seconds in the pocket.
Right. But that's, I mean, Tua has a fast release, but that's how this offense is designed. And where I'm going with that is I don't think we're going to draft a guard really high. I think we're probably going to draft a tackle and probably a guy that might be intended to replace Tron Armstead. And maybe not too dissimilar from what we did with Laramie Tunsil when we drafted him. We didn't need a tackle at the time, but he was there. And he played left guard his whole rookie season before he shifted out. And he's one of the best tackles in the league. I'm just saying, like, I think the plan where offensive tackle, defensive tackles, those are premium paid positions. They're much more expensive and harder to fill than a guard, in my opinion. And so I think the Miami Dolphins are going to look at an offensive tackle in this draft, knowing this is Tron Armstead's last year, and also knowing the chances of him playing a full year healthy aren't that great. So that's kind of what I would look at it in this draft. I think we're still going to pick up some guards, maybe in next couple of days, but definitely in later free agency. They're going to be Isaiah Wynn type economic guys, but that's just, you know, this Corey, the Brewer signing I really like, because I realize like people are concerned about his pass protection, but again, we're not doing lot far drops and holding the ball for 4 seconds and trying to throw the ball deep enough. So the ball is out. This offense is all predicated on horizontal stretching. And so watching some of the film on this guy, man, he can move. Like as for a center, he can really get out in space fast. And this team loves to bring guys in motion. So we're going to have Tyreek Hill. Janu Smith is another tight end who's very fast for a tight end. I mean, I've just said any player the Dolphins get with Mike McDaniel's coach, they're going to be fast. No matter what they play, they're going to be fast. And, to me, Brewer is going to allow those zone stretch plays and stuff to be even harder to stop, because now you got to worry about Tyreek Hill. You got to worry about Devon Achan, who are faster than probably anybody you got on defense. And now you've got a center who can pull out in space. Yeah, he's not going to be a dominating pass-blocking center. I don't expect him to come in and be the best center in the league. But for the scheme we run, he's a great fit. He really is. And so I'm personally not worried about the guards. I'm worried about Cam Smith out in the corner. I don't know that he's going to be able to hold up out there. And I'm worried about how we fill the spot with Christian Wilkins, because it's hard to get really good defensive tackles. I'm assuming we're going to do it in the draft. That's the plan right now. But I don't know. I mean, if there's a free agent out there, I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on if you were going to bring in a defensive tackle free agent right now, if there's one you guys like. But that's my number one concern right now is replacing Wilkins.
Not Hicks is still available. He never signed with anybody. Go get Ndamukong Suh. Try to get him. Why not?
What is he, 40? No, I'm kidding.
Brought him in for a visit last year. They didn't sign him, but he was there. Yeah.
One thing I can tell you about Sue, he's rich and he doesn't play cheap. I guarantee
he played cheap for the Bucks.
What's cheap? What was he, 10 million?
No, I don't know. It was for the Eagles. The Eagles, he played for like what was it, 3 million? Not even?
Well, what did he play though? 3 games? When did they sign him? Like it was late in the season.
It was like late in the season.
But even still, it wasn't like, oh, he had to pay an arm and a leg for Ndamukong Suh. They just added him because, hey, he's out there. Why the hell not?
True, but yeah, we'll see. Anyway, my point was I'm not overly with Butch Berry and the scheme we're in. I'm not overly concerned about the guards. It just feels like they'll be okay with however they address that. I don't think Connor Williams will be a guy. I don't think he's going to. You want to hear a
not so fun fact?
Yeah.
Butch Berry will be the first offensive line coach to coach for the Dolphins in consecutive seasons since John Benton did in the Philbin era from 2014 to 2015. Wow. So from 2015 until this year, Miami has had a different offensive line coach every year. So that in and of itself is going to be helpful to whoever is out there. And so, you know, I said, that's wild. Yeah, but that's truth. Cause I've looked that up in the past. So I had to look up the numbers, but yeah, John Benton was the last offensive line coach that coached for the Dolphins for more than one season.
And along the defensive line, Chad, I'm looking at the free agents that are available on the D line.
Make sure they don't mess with the compensatory formula.
It's not great. But one name does kind of stand out to me because he's a local guy. Little long in the tooth at this point, but I'm all for a one-year deal for like a Calais Campbell along the line at this point. Just bring in another good veteran. You know, he's a good locker room guy at the very least, and he'll be semi-productive for you for the first few weeks of the season while Chubb and Phillips rest up.
He's going to be a tough guy to move out of the middle for sure, even if he's a little older. My guess is they're going to wait and see who they get in the draft. And if they don't get the guy or a guy that they feel like can do it, then they're going to do what I would just call a stopgap. You know, that would be a guy like that. But I just kind of sense that that's what they're going to do. I'm not convinced Cam Smith, is that the other corner right now. And
you know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm just kind of watching what's going on with this Kansas City and Snead and stuff like that. I think the Dolphins are in on that right now, whether or not they'll trade for him or work that out.
Chris Greer is in on any potential superstar trade that ever existed. That's just his nature.
Chris Greer likes to pay high end corners. He always has. Whether it's Byron Jones or we got Ramsey now, he likes his high end corners. And so I have no idea what we have in Cam Smith. I thought he flashed a little in the preseason. I just don't think Fangio wanted to play rookies at all. I don't think he wanted to deal with it. I think he wanted to just play guys that could play a scheme, and he spent no time developing a guy like Tyndall or Cam Smith. But
I don't think Fangio wanted to be in Miami. He just needed a paycheck.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a different topic point. But my point being is I don't know that they're going to just roll with Cam Smith. I think they're going to see what they have in him. But whether they sign a mid-range veteran or they make a move for a high-end corner, I don't know. I mean, there was some talk. Do you know if Denver was actually looking at moving Patrick Surtain Jr.?
I think that's just talk. I think that's just people like wishful thinking. Like, let's bring the legend home. Sam Madison's son were on the team or somewhere out there.
Let's say you could get Snead for a second round pick. You know, Miami loves to trade picks for accomplished players. They have the cap flexibility right now, I would think, to put something together to get him if they could make that trade. So I don't know. Just keep an eye on that because Kansas City, now that they've paid Chris Jones and they, you know, they've got other players that they've got coming at, I don't think they can afford to keep him. And so whether Miami can afford him either, I don't know, but it's just something to keep an eye on at that corner spot.
If we're looking at other free agents, if you're really looking at corner, besides Tre'Davious White, which we already discussed earlier, you do have some options. J.C. Jackson is available, unless I don't think he's signed yet. Yeah, yeah, he is. Well, he's 28, so he's available.
Go ahead, Duke.
I was going to say, the good news is if Miami signs him, he can't get beat by Hill again.
Yeah.
He gets beat every day by Hill in practice. End up like being a mess? Like, he was in San Diego, or am I getting the wrong guy?
I'm sorry, what was that, Chad?
He was in San Diego. Oh, gosh. Sorry. Los Angeles. It's always going to be San Diego to me. He was in Los Angeles. They actually paid most of his salary and he went to New England and got cut, right? Like, I just say that it hasn't been going well for J.C. Jackson. I don't know that he's...
Yeah, it wasn't going great. But, I mean, if you're looking for stopgaps, once upon a time, Jackson was a decent player. So,
And then, I don't know where he's at.
But. Speaking of decent players, Patrick Peterson would not count against the compensatory pick, and somehow this guy has managed to continue being relevant.
He was a great corner. I don't know what he's got. What is he, 35, 36?
He is 33 years old.
Oh, he's only 33?
I guess.
Maybe he's got a year.
I guess Kendall Fuller would be the best guy remaining in terms of on the open market, although he might cost you a comp pick. I'm not sure if he was cut or not.
Yeah, he's not on the list of guys that I see here so far.
He wasn't cut. I it looks to me that's the MO right now. They're going to be going for guys that were cut.
They don't want to get rid of those two third rounders. They want them. They need them. I mean, when was the last time that the Miami Dolphins had a long list of draft picks to use? It was before McDaniel even showed up.
Well, yeah, the year after Flores' second year, they were loaded after the Tunsil trade. But we should have been loaded if it wasn't for the
the Tom Brady nonsense. Yeah.
Yeah. We lost a lot there, but
his last going away present, his last middle finger to the Dolphins before.
I'll put this out there. Legarius Sneed absolutely would be a Miami Dolphin right now if they had that ammunition.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They would go get him.
I don't know. I feel like the money aspect of it right now is holding them back to some extent because you don't want to. You can't put all your eggs in one basket right now. Knowing number one, if you get rid of all your draft picks to get Legarius Sneed, what are you using to fill the rest of the holes? You still need two guards. You still need at least two defensive tackles. There's nobody there besides Zach Sealer and Brandon Peely. You cannot go into the league year with just those two, and especially not Brandon Peely. It's not like Brandon Peely's done anything that even makes me think that he's actually got something in the tank. I'm not doing that. You need somebody who is at least, like you mentioned Calais Campbell, I mentioned Dominican Sue, at least somebody who has some kind of a record of saying, hey, there's something there, at least once upon a time. They were dominant players. Now they're decent, older veterans who still know how to play the game, but they're not going to be the guy that you're going to count on to be a superstar, but at least they still have something that they can impart, and that's knowledge. Brandon Peely's got nothing. Nothing! Like, I'm not doing that. I need somebody that I can look at and say, we can count on this guy to at least hold down the fort until Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips can kind of take up the rest of that role. Raekwon Davis, we can't even get Raekwon Davis back. He just signed a 2-year, $14 million deal with, I believe it was.
You don't want him back. He's not that good, Lewis. I mean, he's big.
I mean, the Colts just gave him $14 million.
Yeah. He's okay. He never. again, you know, Wilkins is a great motor. But I don't think he's on the team right now, what you're talking about, Lewis. I think that's probably going to be a draft pick. I don't know, but the starting defense.
But that's my point, though, Chad. Chad, that's my point. If you were to give up all your draft picks to go get L'Jarius Sneed, you don't have any picks left to fill the rest of the holes. So we can't do that.
I mean, I think, though, I don't think you're going to spend high resources on a guard. And so I would guess that they may get some later in free agency guards, like an Isaiah Wynn. So he's somebody not expensive. And you could use your first round pick on a defensive tackle. And Sneed's probably, you're going to give that guy plan on being your corner for 4 or 5 years. He's pretty young yet. If they were to do that, I don't know that they will. But I just think, I haven't seen Miami bringing in corners. You don't see them signing corners right now. They brought Nick Needham back, who I think he's for depth. I don't think their intent is to start Nick Needham at all. And Cam Smith, I don't know. What's that?
He could, though.
I think Nick Needham's primary role is to back up Kader Kohou. I think that's what his primary role is. But that's just me. I don't think he's coming to play on the outside opposite of Jalen Ramsey. Cam Smith could do it. Maybe that's their plan. I still think even if Cam Smith's the plan, they're going to bring in an accomplished veteran corner somehow. When and where, I don't know. I don't think they're going to address corner in the draft unless something crazy happens and like a blue chip falls to them in the 20s. But I don't know who that is. But like I said, like right now what I'm doing is I'm not freaking out about the holes. The defensive tackle hasn't been addressed yet. Who's going to replace Wilkins hasn't been addressed. But what they are addressing is upgrading the team so far, which is exciting to me. You know, like the offense is already very good. It's that much better with Janu Smith now out there, because this, as the season progressed, teams were backing their linebackers up more and more. And they were trying to close that space between the safeties and the linebackers, and where Tua Hill and Waddle were just murdering people. And the Dolphins needed to be a little patient and work the underneath game, and they didn't do that enough. And you bring Janu Smith now underneath for those, you know, 5 yard dump offs. He's a beast when you get him the ball out in space. He's a very fast tight end, and so I think his offense already, to me, is looking better. I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep over the guards. I'm more worried about who's backing up Tron Armstead right now than who my starting guards are for the Dolphins. I mean, right now, if we went out there, it'd be Armstead, Eichenberg, Brewer, Jones, and Jackson. That's better than what we had in the playoffs right now as a starting unit right now. So I hope they get Kendall Lamb back, or they draft an offensive tackle that can play guard maybe. But it's just a hard position to fill to get an offensive tackle. And that's a way bigger concern to me than the guards right now.
So I'll tell you what, Chad. That offense is going to be even more explosive when they draft an X at 21 and allow Tyreek Hill to really dominate out of the slot.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me.
I'm all in on Brian Thomas at this point. I'm all in on Brian Thomas.
I know. I'm sure you are, Eric. I'm 100% sure that Mike McDaniel saw Xavier Worthy's 40 time and said he wants that guy.
I was just saying, like, whoever they get, if he's not sub 4.4, he's too slow. That's going to be McDaniel's look.
Mike McDaniel wants the fastest man to ever run the combine. You watch. He wants him badly.
And I'm a fan, too, because you had him. Because they added Robbie Chosen last year, who added a more vertical component than – not that Hill and Waddle can't do that, but they're more used as both vertical and horizontal components, whereas Robbie Chosen is strictly basically a field stretcher.
Robbie Chosen runs in a straight line and nothing else. That was why he was useless.
You add a 4-2-1 guy for that defense to have to worry about when you've got Achane back there and then you have Waddle and Hill. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, if you're a defensive coordinator, I mean, you're just like, all right, I hope it's a strong windy day and Tua can't throw that far. I mean, it's going to be bad. So I'm a fan of Worthy. I don't think they're going to take him, but if they do, I'll be excited about it.
McDaniel will be screaming at the top of his lungs. You will hear him from the war room down on the podium. Don't let him take anybody.
I want to bring up a point about the defensive tackle position. So I'm going to kind of assume that Weaver is going to run a similar system to what Baltimore did. So
I would say yes.
I looked at their snap count from last year. Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith were 1 and 3, respectively, in number of snaps taken. Only two defensive tackles made it more than 50% of the snaps. That was Justin Madubuike and Michael Pierce, their nose tackle. So if we look at that, if we look at those numbers, it's safe to say they want lots of linebackers, and the defensive tackles are going to be a committee approach. You already have Zach Sealer, who's going to be probably your number one snap guy. They probably need a run-stuffing nose guy. That's probably going to be a guy they look at in the draft as well. So when it comes to defensive tackles, they're probably looking at that like, we need some guys, but we don't need a four-year, $110 million dude to do it. So look for Zach Sealer to be the primary guy. They're probably going to get a nose tackle type, and then they're going to have a committee approach with everybody else. And they're going to rely on those linebackers to do a lot of the heavy lifting. Jadeveon Clowney was 7th on that list. He's an edge guy. So they're probably going to get another edge guy because that's what they're going to look at. So just looking at the snap counts, to round out the top five, were the safety positions. Three safeties. So linebacker, safety, safety. So if you want a blueprint for kind of how Weaver might want to run things, it's going to be secondary and linebacker heavy, not so much defensive front heavy.
And yet even then, the Baltimore Ravens just gave Anabuike a bazillion dollars. So
well, but I mean, we've already got our big money guy, if you think about it. And that's Zach Sealer, who ironically was
originally a Baltimore Raven. Think about it. Of all the players they could have prioritized over there in Baltimore, they gave it to their defensive tackle. And the Chiefs, the same thing. Then they had L'Jarius Sneed. Instead of paying L'Jarius Sneed, their superstar corner, they gave it to Chris Jones, their defensive tackle.
Whoa, hold up now. They got Trent McDuffie on the other side of L'Jarius Sneed there. I think that factors into the calculus of quite a bit in Kansas City.
I mean, isn't the mindset that you want two shutdown corners at any given moment? Do they have a third one that I don't know about?
No, absolutely. But I think Chris Jones is still in another tier than Christian Wilkins.
100% he is.
Okay, ultimately, you're talking all pro versus pro bowler, a borderline pro bowler at this point. Christian Wilkins did not make the Pro Bowl last year. And that's not to disparage Christian Wilkins. I think he's great. But defensive tackle is just a position that's pretty deep around the league. And I think that kind of is reflected by him not being a Pro Bowler. So I just want to put that disclaimer out there. What I heard from Duke that interests me is I want to know who the space heater is going to be on that defensive line, because the Dolphins really haven't had a true nose tackle in a while. I mean, they tried to do it with Raekwon Davis a little bit, but not really.
They haven't run that scheme in a long time.
Looking around, I mean, is there a guy like that out there in free agency at this point? I don't know, but those guys typically don't garner a ton of value anyways.
No, I call them the toilet clockers, but the 330-pound guys that the interior defensive line, you're either trying to occupy linemen so they can't get to your linebackers, or you're trying to shoot gaps. And Zach Sealer and Christian Wilkins are gap shooters. They're not guys that bully offensive linemen around. They're trying to get into gaps and fill their responsible gaps. A 300, what Duke was referring to is they're going to bring in a nose, and yep, they're going to run their linebackers around to make the tackles and not have their defensive tackles making a lot of tackles here. They're just supposed to create a big clog in the middle and let the linebackers clean up.
And if you want a player for that, DJ Reader is probably the best available free agent. He's also coming off an injury, so he fits Miami's.
Did his contract run out?
Yeah, we like injuries.
Yeah, I don't know if his contract ran out or not, but he's 6'3", 335. He's he would be your toilet clogger there. But I don't see Miami going for him just because I think he'll cost too much. But he's had injuries, so he fits the plan.
I mean, if a guy like, I mean, I like big guys with great nicknames. I love Snacks Harrison. At 55, if Meatloaf Sweat falls to 55, I think that would be a solid pick.
What is going on here?
Kind of that nose tackle.
Y'all are just making me hungry and want to end the show early.
Second round pick on that.
If you have a nose tackle, you need a nickname. So, you know, it starts off with a guy like the Refrigerator Perry. You got to have a guy with a nickname that makes you hungry. Because they're always hungry.
Going to go into some of the chat talk real quick here. So Lenny Pena saying, yeah, we know for sure Teron Armstead will be good for about 11 games and miss about six, maybe seven. No, he missed a lot more than that last year. So
Lenny, I'd be happy to get 11 out of him, to be honest.
Yeah, at this point, that'd be a steal at this point.
Nobody has seen his contract adjustment, right?
No, we haven't. I've been lamenting that for the past 24 hours now. It's like I keep hearing all about this contract that's been adjusted. I'm like, what was adjusted? Show me.
I know. I kind of suspect he took a little bit of a cut. Maybe not, but I think he tried to help the Dolphins out. I don't think he just moved money like, you know, Jalen Ramsey didn't take a pay cut. He just converted money into a bonus and spread it out a little so he wasn't as big of a cap hit. But I don't know on Armstead. He may have taken a bit of a cut. I think Teron Armstead realizes himself he's just physically probably not going to be able to play 17 games. But, the 11 games, the 7 games, whatever he gives you, he plays pretty good level at those games at that time, but I don't know. I don't know why it's been so secretive, because I mean it's already happened from what I understand. Maybe they haven't executed, but I thought that Teron Armstead was one of the moves they made to get under the cap, right?
That was one of them. Yeah.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see though if he took a pay cut, you know, that's fine. Having to play 11 games, I mean.
Sturt IT saying, I think we get a tackle that moves to guard until Armstead is gone. So yeah, Troy Fontenot, I guess.
I saw a mock draft today that had the Dolphins taking Jordan Morgan, the tackle out of Arizona. Okay. So there's your guard / tackle.
You have thoughts on him, Duke?
I've not watched any film yet. If I get around to it, I will. But I've read some positive things about him. So if he's athletic enough to play in the scheme, go for it.
All right. Continuing down the list, Jeffrey is saying, love getting Poyer to help us scheme against Josh Allen. I guess if nothing else, it's a data dump, right? Like, he must know something about Josh Allen. There's a weakness. Everybody has a weakness.
Poyer is a tough SOB. We needed that.
By the way, Chad, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see how much he signed for?
$2 million.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, getting Poyer for $2 million versus, and this is no disrespect to Jones. I mean, I thought Denver way overpaid for what he is. I mean, he's not a great cover safety. He hits hard and he's a good blitzer, but that's why safeties don't get paid a lot. Unless you can both stop the run and cover both at a high level, you're kind of a one dimensional safety. And so getting Poyer for $2 million to me is an absolute steal right now to fill that position for it. We're still going to get one more safety yet, but that might wait till after the draft, but Poyer and Holland together, that's a great combo. I love that.
At least for 1 year. Yeah. I don't know.
Turning 33. Even if he doesn't work out, what are you out? $2 million? I mean, come on.
It's an easy move. I would love to see how he does this year, just to see if maybe it's a good idea to bring him back the year after. Just because, like, hey, you want to come back? You want to do it again? You want to come play with us again? I know his wife's happy. His wife is thrilled to be back in Miami.
Yeah. Hey, I honestly think he wanted to be here last year. They just couldn't work.
He did. Miami. No, he basically had all but a neon sign saying, sign me. he wanted badly to be in Miami. I was making the comment earlier that I would not be surprised if the deal that the Dolphins offered him this year that he actually finally signed is the one that they offered him last season. And that's why he said, I'm going back to Buffalo.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
But he definitely addresses the need.
Frederick says, what's up? Lots of stuff is up. The sky is up. Our moods are up. This especially helps a lot since last night was a little bit of a downer, losing all those really good players.
And remember a few years ago, I think it's 2022, Miami was kind of quiet early on in free agency, and people were like, what's Miami going to do? And then like a week later, Teron Armstead, and then the day after that was Tyreek Hill. So You know, Tyreek Hill said that Greer's working his magic behind the scenes. So maybe he's got something cooking that we don't know about yet.
That's a distinct possibility. So we're going with Javon Holland as safety one, and we're assuming Jordan Poyer is safety two. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Justin Simmons actually finally signed a contract. I think he is, or at the very least, I think the Titans are going to be looking for him. They're trying to get him signed on. So, but we're needing one more safety, unless you're wanting to say that Nick Needham is your third safety, which if that's the case.
He might be. I mean, I think they'll probably draft. I mean, now that you've got Poyer in there and where Holland's at, getting a young safety would make a lot of sense to me to maybe we're not going to have a ton of snap counts, but somebody that you can have maybe take over for Poyer next year for a higher number of snap counts.
There are two safeties that were cut from the Seahawks that Miami could look at. Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs.
Please not Jamal Adams. I mean, I know he's talented, but he's just trouble. We don't want trouble players.
I mean, listen, Tyreek is trouble. We're kind of tolerating him.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, yeah. He's flamboyant, but it's he's different. Not out breaking laws.
I get
it.
The most recent Tyreek Hill, the most recent Tyreek thing was a nothing burger, though. Like, yeah. Completely.
Oh, no, yeah. The broken leg story. Yeah, that was bullcrap.
Oh, I think he's talking about the comedy club.
Comedy club.
Oh, that what you meant? No, I'm talking about the broken leg story. There's nothing to that one.
Yeah.
He's flamboyant. He's going to be in the news one way or the other. But I really don't care about that as long as they're not breaking the law and they're able to play on Sunday. That's usually what I say.
Frederick Dunlap saying, guys coming here to retire. Wow. I mean. Not necessarily. Like, when have the Dolphins ever been like just dying to sign a bunch of old people? Even the old people I want them to sign, they won't. Yeah. You would think with all the desperate need they had for defensive linemen at the tail end of the playoffs, you would think after having Ndamukong Suh visit, they would have gone ahead and said, "Here, take some money, just please come in and play for us." But they went with what was the guy's name? Bruce something or other. I can't even remember his name.
For what?
The Dolphins signed like four guys to desperately play as their edge rushers against
Bruce Irvin.
I mean,
Justin Houston. Melvin Ingram.
Ingram was already here.
Late season.
I mean, if Ingram got hurt, Duke was next up. I mean, there wasn't much they could do at that point. They were decimated, so they did what they could.
So I'm going to name a couple of safeties that are still on the market. These guys are probably going to be fairly expensive based on
their age. Are they going to mess with the comp picks?
Maybe. I don't think they'll be huge. They may knock out one of the sixth rounders, but you've got Cameron Curl of the Commanders, Julian Blackman from the Colts, Jordan Fuller from the Rams. And these are guys that are still available. Jordan Whitehead that played for the Jets. I think he was formerly with the Tampa Bay Bucks. So these are some guys that are fairly young that you could sign to a reasonably longer-term deal.
Some talent. I feel like at that point, your best bet would just be go back and get Deshaun Elliott again. And he's your own free agent, and you don't have to worry about the comp pick at all.
That wouldn't shock me at all that he does come back, to be honest.
So there's plenty of safeties out there that they can look at. It's not
right, but that's exactly – because people were asking – and even Alf brought it up on Twitter, and I commented on it, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week too, was that if there was any player that I would want to get rid of in order to keep Christian Wilkins, I would have been Javon Holland. I don't – like, safeties get cut. Really good ones get cut every single year. We just filled up one of the holes with Jordan Poyer. So then we wanted Jordan Poyer to begin with last season. So it would not be difficult to find another safety and to avoid having to pay Javon Holland this monstrous contract that he's not going to get. Of all the, like, you're talking about positions that are devalued in the league. Running back is one of them. Safety's number two. Nobody cares about paying safeties. Nobody wants to pay safeties. So what exactly a kind of a contract does Javon Holland think he's going to get? Because if he starts pushing for a massive contract, he's not going to get it, especially when every single year there's another safety, another really good safety that just hit the open market because his cap hit is more than $10 million.
I don't think Holland's pushing for a big contract. I think this is just the year.
Will he be going to extend? Not this year, no. But when he's finally a free agent?
I don't know. Like, I think they're going to try to sign him in June or July to an extension, Holland. But I don't know. I do think he's a pretty good cover safety, better than most in the league at being able to cover man-to-man. And a lot of safeties can't. I mean, he's significantly better than Jones, like when you compare the two in coverage. I think they want to keep him here. And that, I mean, if you hear him speak, he's a smart dude, John Holland is. And so I think he's going to be one of the young guys they're going to extend and keep here.
Yeah. And one thing about Holland is in college, he did play slot corner. So He has some man coverage versatility that you're not going to get from a lot of safeties.
No, you can match him up on a Travis Kelce or something like that if you need to, or you can have him spy a quarterback if you need to. He can do a lot of different things for you. But he had nothing to do with it. The thing, if you want to have a frustration, here's a frustration I have right now, that we could have tagged Wilkins and made it work if we would have got the deal done with Tua. So whatever is going on with Tua's deal, it's frustrating to me that we're going to have to drag this out into the summer, because he would have freed up, you know, over half of the money to tag Wilkins that we're going to spend anyway on his contract. And so that's been the most frustrating thing to me. I thought they would get the Tua extension done prior to free agency so we could have more cap flexibility, but it doesn't seem to be happening.
Do you make Javon Holland the highest paid safety in the league when his extension comes?
No, not. I mean, right now, that's the whole point of doing it now. If he asks to be the highest paid safety in the league, I would say, why would we do that a year early? We'll have you play out your rookie contract and see if you're healthy before we even talk about that. I would anticipate he'll be like top 10 safety money, and you sign him a year early. And the benefit to Javon Holland is you don't risk having Connor Williams, you know, a really bad ACL, and then you never get paid. You never get your payday. And so unless Javon Holland doesn't want to be here, that this offseason is when you try to get the extension done so you can get him in that range. And so
Robert Hunt was offered a contract and he said, go kick rocks, because he wanted free agency.
Yeah, he took, I was making that point yesterday. Wilkins took a risk. Robert Hunt took a risk and they made it through and they got paid big. And maybe Javon Holland will try that. I think he's going to be a little more hesitant because look in the glut of safeties that hit the market this year. He may be a little more hesitant to want to get to free agency versus get his deal done. Whereas Wilkins, you know, you look at him last year when Miami offered him that, he was seeing bonker defensive tackle deals last year. And obviously it carried forward to this year. So, you know, it worked out for Robert Hunt too. I think Robert Hunt's a solid lineman, but I just don't think he's worth $20 million. I don't think any guard is really worth $20 million really right now, but that's the market. So, I mean, Connor Williams lost a lot of money. He lost millions of dollars not taking a deal last year with the Dolphins. And he wanted to be the highest paid center, I heard, or near the top. And Miami said no. And so, because he held out, I want to say, right?
Did he hold out
last year? Because he wanted a bigger contract. He didn't get it. And, you know,
he wanted an extension. I don't know how much more money he wanted.
Well, he wanted us, they would have extended him. He wanted a big extension.
And yeah.
He didn't get it. And had he taken a more modest deal, he would have made a lot more money there, especially if the reports from Riddick are true and he may be retired. He might have lost, you know, 10 to 20 million of his earning potential by not taking that deal. And so that's every NFL player has to take that risk. You know, Austin Jackson chose not to. Like Austin Jackson would have gotten more money as a free agent this year had he waited, but he didn't want to take that risk. He wanted to take the financial security when he could. And some players do and some players don't. That's just the NFL.
All right. We're going to go ahead and call it here. Everybody, I want to thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We will be back next week for more Pulse of Fins Nation. If for those of you who have not already done so, make sure you go to prizepicks.com, use the promo code 5, that's FIVE, and they will match up to $100 on your initial deposit when you sign up. And of course, use the links in the description below to be able to get these awesome games that are there to be able to enjoy. You'll get bonus items upon making your purchase. All right. We didn't even get to Shaq Barrett. Yeah, Duke's talking in the private chat. We didn't even get to Shaq Barrett. Dolphins signed an edge rusher. So, yay. We got a veteran edge rusher to hold down the fort until Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips get back. You know who else is out on the market? Emmanuel Ogba. Maybe we should go get him. I hear he's available. I hear he's pretty good.
He'll find a home, but yeah, it's. Right. I like the. I mean, for $9 million, that's a great. I mean, he when they're back, he'll be a good rotational end with them, and yeah, I thought it was, you know, and he didn't count again, right? He was a no comp pick signing. Yep. So that's again, that's the MO here. Like, you're looking at who the Dolphins are interested in. Were they cut? And if they were cut, they might be interested. If they weren't cut, we're probably not going to touch them. That's what I'm taking away right now.
All right. Have a good night, folks. We'll see you next week.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.